powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open the word of truth to Romans 3, verse 27, page 20 of your notes. Romans 3, 27. All right, let's take the customary time to double check and be sure that we are indeed in fellowship and ready to assimilate this portion of God's Word, the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is contained in the doctrines and in the books and verses of your Bible. That's what Jesus Christ thinks. That's what He is all about. So let's take the usual time to make the usual preparation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we assemble ourselves together so that we can continue to grow in grace and knowledge and overcome the corruption that is within and within the world. Be with us in these perilous times as we wrap up the dispensation. Bless this information to our edification and encouragement. In Christ's name, amen. All right, I did have a title for this, but it got lost somewhere. I entitled this section, The Law of Faith, or if you prefer, No Basis for Boasting. Where then is boasting? Paul asks rhetorically, the interrogative adverb, where, P-O-U, and caucasus, the noun with a definite article, for boasting. It is excluded. He answers the question. It is shut out. One word in the Greek, aorist passive indicative, ek kalio, means to exclude or shut out something. By or through, preposition dia, what kind, an interrogative adjective, poios, what kind of law, namas, here. Of works, definite article, the genitive neuter plural noun for work or deed, ergon. No. So you see how he is eliminating the works factor repeatedly with regard to the salvation adjustment. The particle uki, emphatic form of u, of ou, u. This is the emphatic form. But, strong adversative, but, by or through a law of faith. So he ties the word law with the noun faith, pistis. Continuing, verse 28. For we maintain, that's the informed, adjusted believer in their doctrinal position. For we maintain, there are others besides Paul that maintain this. Present deponent indicative, third plural of this repeated verb, logizomai, which we have seen being used in connection with the crediting to one's account plus R. But here, it's this meaning, this nuance. For we maintain that a man, that a person, a man, anthropos, is justified, here, the present infinitive, dikaiao, made righteous, could be a way you could translate this, because it's the word which the noun dikaiosune is righteousness, so made righteous. But we'll stick with this, is justified, instrumental of the noun faith, apart from works. Apart from is a preposition, course, apart from works of the law. Works, plural, law. Or is God of Jews only? The God is in italics. Or is God here? I managed to leave out. No, I didn't. So, never mind. Or is the God of Jews only? Adverb manos. Is he not of Gentiles also? Uke, interrogative particle, also Gentiles is, we have our word ethnic. It's the plural noun, ethnos. Yes, we have the particle, nai, yes, also Gentiles. Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith, and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. Okay. Since, a conjunction, a pair, since is one. That's the numeral heis in the Greek, which one. God is one. Who, pronoun, who will justify. Future indicative, there again, dikaiao, made righteous, justify. The circumcised, peritome, and the uncircumcised, akrobustia, through dia, faith. Then he adds a disclaimer here at the end of this, lest people get the wrong idea and go too far with something. Do we then nullify the law through faith? Do we then nullify? Nullify is the present active indicative, kat argeo, to nullify something. Do we then nullify law through faith? Dia, again, with the definite article, the faith in this case. And then he uses the standard disclaimer, meganoito in the Greek, it's translated, may it never be. Some versions it's translated, God forbid, but there is no God in this. It's no way. It's like our no way expression. On the contrary, we establish, but we establish, on the contrary, simply the conjunction Allah, but, or on the contrary, that kind of makes it sharper, we establish, histemi, law. All right. Point one. These verses constitute a conclusion to be drawn from the preceding discourse of verses 21 through 26. You have to be in the flow of things here. This is a continually developing argument. In those verses, Paul presented a righteousness that can be attained apart from the law or law. And this is very important to your appreciation and understanding of your so great salvation. There is no giving of eternal life apart from the acquisition of plus R. Plus R is the qualifier to have a relationship with plus R, God. So God gives plus R to the one who believes in Jesus Christ, qualifying them forever to have a relationship with Him. It's that simple, and you get it, or a person gets it, by faith in the designated object, Jesus Christ. Before and after Jesus Christ, it's always the same. Simple faith in Jesus Christ secures plus R, which is at the foundation of guaranteeing an eternal relationship with God. As stated many, many times, God cannot have a fellowship with that which is less than Himself. Now down here, we believe in Christ. We're still experientially sinners, may commit sins, and need to use rebound. But we have credited to our account plus R, and eventually, when we get to heaven, we will be plus R experientially. 3. This section is highly rhetorical in tone and sets the stage for a more detailed defense of the doctrine of justification by faith in the upcoming chapter or chapters. Here we have decisive inference and confidence. The first of three rhetorical questions is, where then is boasting? If salvation is by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, and the acquisition of plus R is based on the individual believing in Christ, the individual has no basis to boast in that regard. Look what I did. There's no grounds for boasting. In a works-based system, if there was one, there would be grounds for boasting. Look what I accomplished. There is a place for sanctified boasting, by the way, in Scripture. A sanctified, non-sinful type of boasting. But there is no ground for boasting in this approach to the plan of God. Paul probably, 6, has the Jewish legalist in mind, given the propensity for thinking all is well based on the Jew's privilege and good works, keeps the law, a Jew, circumcised, etc., 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 etc. They were basing, in his day, and they continue to base their confidence in their Jewishness and their orthodoxy. It is sinking sand. It is absolutely sinking sand for individuals who are basing their confidence on a happy afterlife based on their good works or deeds. It would apply to anyone. The answer to the question is 7. The Jew engages in self-congratulation, but others do as well. We're Jewish. We are into the law. We have Abraham as our father. On and on and on it goes. This mindset. The answer to the question is decisive. 29. Is excluded. Slams the door on self-righteous impertinence with regard to the subject of salvation. It just slams the door. It is excluded. Your boasting is in vain. You can boast, but not effectively before God. Now you can boast as a believer, I know the truth. I have the truth. Let a man boast not in his wealth, in his strength, or anything else, but that he knows the Lord, and he knows the plan of God. That's the basis for legit boasting. You can boast in that. You can boast in, I go to a church that teaches sound doctrine, and I'm growing in grace. You can boast in that. In the face of all opposition, let them say what they want to say. You can boast in that. I have the truth. And you can name any number of subjects that you perhaps have learned here at Maranatha Church, and you can take confidence in those, and you can boast in those. And that's not sinful. By God's grace, I know this information, and it's true. That's sanctified boasting. He's talking about here this empty boasting. The exclusion of boasting in the matter of salvation is explained in the balance of the sentence. 11. By what kind of law sets the table for yet another use of law in Romans chapters 1 through 3? It's another law. Or we could say principle. Same difference. That's how he uses the word nomos, law. He uses, obviously, the Mosaic law. He uses it of law in a kind of a general sense of basic establishment norms and standards that people live by for a decent society. And here he uses it in connection with faith, the law of faith. Twelve, of works, references the moral and ritual works of the Mosaic law, or any system of law that is reflective of the Mosaic law. Gentile rule and law, law and order, those sort of things. Any kind of a system. To this he replies, 13, no, but by a law of faith. A law of faith. Or as I said, you could say, a principle of faith. Faith is non-meritorious thinking. I believe it. I hear it, I believe it. That's how we assimilate all divine viewpoint. All people have faith, just the objects are wrong. The object has to have merit. So we operate on the principle of one. We accept when it's clearly taught, or we don't. We accept the information and what we call gap it, grace apparatus for perception. We take the information in and we assimilate it incrementally. There's no one quick way to download it all for you. No way I could do it. Nobody could do it. If I taught hours on end, it takes time for you to hear and assimilate the information. Now you have to have the initiative. This is the old thing I harp on. I've harped on for years. You got to be here, and if you can't, you have got to get the information. This is vital. This is your life's blood, so to speak. Man shall not live by bread alone. It's your spiritual food. You've got to get here and get in front of the information. Oh, sometimes you don't feel like it. So what? You make it. I'm not asking you to come in here and get us all sick or anything, or bring a sick kid in here. That you have to deal with that. But you have to set your life up with this hard-nosed attitude. I'm going to Bible class. I can give illustrations where people in the past have told relatives because they were going to have a get-together for an anniversary for their parents, and it was on Bible class night. Not all their parents planned it on Bible class because one of the parents was particularly hostile towards this church. They said, "We'll see you afterwards." Bible class is from 7:15 to 8:15 or so. We'll be there around 8:30. And if they don't like it, they don't like it. We're not here to please men. We're not here to please family, people, relatives, and all the rest of them. This is a great witness. I'm getting a Bible class. If you're having any trouble getting a Bible class, we'll at any time, we'll try to get you a ride. We'll get somebody from the church to pick you up. You give us enough lead time. We're about getting here. And this is not, if there ever was, this is not the time to be lackadaisical, lukewarm, and let things interfere. The world's going to hell in a handbag. Right down the tubes to the tribulation. It's in our face as if never before, if you've been listening. So make this your NPR. It's not a radio station. It's most pressing responsibility. In ancient Israel, when they came up out of Egypt and finally built their tabernacle, they put all the tribes around the tabernacle whenever they were in an encampment. Three on the north, three on the south, three on the east, and three on the west. That's 12 tribes. And in the center is a tabernacle that through ritual taught the plan of God. That's to be central to your lives. So, anyway. The law of faith refers to the non-meritorious act of believing in the one who has merit, who has all the merit, Jesus Christ. You honor the Son by believing in Him, and God honors you by giving you eternal life, plus the whole salvation package and all the extras that go with it, like the promise of a resurrection body. And then that opens the door up for you to exploit the plan of God through the intake and application of Bible doctrine. You come here, you'll learn how you are to handle a whole variety of things. Actually, basically anything. Testing, adversity, suffering, persecution, opportunities to apply, Bible doctrine, how to do your job out there, whatever it is, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Law, in this instance, must mean system, principle, method, or rule. You can substitute any of those in there. But he uses nomos, the law of faith, the principle of faith, the system of faith. People are rewarded for things because of merit. That's fine. People do things, they get a promotion. They get something for it. That's merit. That's bona fide. But when it comes to the salvation adjustment, there's no basis for human merit and goodness. That's all relative, because as we've seen, all fall short of the glory of God. All are locked up under sin. Yes, some of us are worse than others, experientially out there. But irregardless, we're all in that same, we're all on the same Titanic. That's called the cosmos, and it's going down. It goes down one by one when people die in unbelief out there. Okay. This demonstrates how easily Paul can pass from one usage of law to another. 17. The contrast is between the two diametrically opposed approaches to justification, a legal system of do's and don'ts, and the faith principle. 18. The law of faith is the inference to be drawn from the gospel set forth in verses 21 through 26. Verse 28 presents the reason for the assertion in verse 27. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. As we all well know, it is widespread belief system among humans that if you do a bunch of good stuff, you might just get to heaven. I mean, it's widespread. And some people, under the oppression of some religious organizations, they never quite know if they're going to be qualified. They live their whole lives jumping through all these hoops, keeping the sacraments, lighting candles, running around, all this stuff, doing confession, and they're not even assured that they're going to go to heaven when they die. That is pathetic. When you have a book like Romans in front of the human race for all these centuries, and the rest of it in the Bible, with just a little bit of guidance, you can put people onto, hey, salvation is by believing in Jesus Christ plus and minus nothing else. Just do that, you're in. And you're off the hook. You're no longer under condemnation. And pulling that lever when a person dies in unbelief. We maintain, or conclude, is the position held by believing and informed Christians. That's our position. This is what we maintain. We maintain and advocate this principle. And it is this, 21, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. That's what we maintain. That's what we hold to. Faith in the person of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the particulars. But you really don't have to know a whole lot. You really don't have to know a whole lot. I believe. He's their Savior. I mean, we can explain more things and lay it all out. His death, where He bore the sins of the world, took the heat for us during the 3 hours of darkness. You learned that here too. Well, you might have learned it somewhere else too. For some of you, you learned it here. It's the 3 hours of darkness. It's all important. Don't misunderstand me. But when it says Christ died for us, it's not referring to His physical death. Well, that really ticked off a couple people in our church that have since left. Propitiation was accomplished during the 3 hours. He wasn't being propitiated for sins from all of His human sufferings, because they came from two sources. From the source of men, Jews and the Romans, and God. God hammered Him. God hammered Him for 3 hours. And so the essence of God was propitiated, satisfied that all sins had been taken to court and judged, so to speak. It's really clarified that for me. That's one of those early introductions into Bible doctrine and sound doctrine that really rang a bell with me. It was clear for the first time. Even something like simple faith in Jesus Christ gives you salvation. They muddy the waters in some of these churches. Well, you got to feel sorry for your sins, or now that you're saved, all that junk. All that thrown in to undermine your confidence. I guess they don't have faith in it. I'm not saying they aren't believers. They just don't have faith in what's in front of them. Easy salvation. You bet, from the human standpoint, it's easy. I mean, think of the easiest thing you can do to get the most. This is it. Nothing compares. Not in the same breath, in the same category. And you've got that every day of your life from the time when you and I believed in Christ. Now, we're giving you understanding, confidence with regard to this, so you can have it for your own personal benefit, and if you get to talk to someone else, you can witness it to them clearly. Well, aren't you supposed to repent of your sins? No. No. When it says repent and believe in a couple places in the Gospels, it's change your mind about what you used to think. Salvation is through works. You repent of that. Throw that aside. It's not the case. It's faith, and faith alone. This couldn't be clearer. I don't know why people can't get it. But I'm only responsible for you. What's out there is out there. What we maintain is this, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Can anything be clearer? There is no definite article here, so I don't always point that out. He's not justified apart from the works of law. So that would be any system, not just Mosaic. Faith is exclusive. Faith is exclusive and stands on its own apart from the works of the law. Faith only goes with grace. Faith and grace are married for salvation, not faith and works. More on that later. Justification by works always stands on that which a person is and does. It is always oriented to the virtue attached to the individual. 24, faith is trust and commitment to another who possesses all the merit. So you've done that. You're locked in on this one. I just want to give you perfect understanding on as much as I can. The law of faith is self-renouncing. Works are self-congratulatory. So, Paul's argument is very simple. Faith alone is implicit in Paul's argument. The law of faith. Faith only. Object, Jesus Christ. Result, instant incorporation into the family of God, constitute a child of God, and God does not cast off His children in that sense. They're always His children, good or bad, positive or negative, they're His children. Now, verses 29 and 30 here should be understood against the background of the doctrine that God is one. Note in verse 30. Since indeed God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith is one. Why would he say that here? And affirm this aspect of theology that God is one. Okay. This is the first article of the Jewish faith. God is one. Deuteronomy 6:4. I'll read an extended portion of this. We're in Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, singular. A singular commandment. The statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going to possess it. So that you and your son, and your grandson, might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I commanded you, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. A temporal blessing connected with adherence to this. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly. See, these are temporal blessings that would come to the Jews if they adhered to this covenant properly. Just as the Lord, the God of your forefathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. As in the numeral one, one in essence. One in essence. Now the singular commandment, there is an overriding singular commandment to the Jews. And what is that commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. Well, how are you going to do that? By saying a few nice things? Having an emotional feeling? No. By keeping the commandments. Jesus made this clear. If you'll love me, you'll keep my words. You'll embrace them and live under them. That's the measure of personal love for God. It only makes sense. You can't love God and be ignorant and non-compliant, etc. And obviously there's various degrees among us that are positive. Different levels. God is one. Isaiah 45:5. I am the Lord, and there's no other. Besides me, there's no God. All right. So, this basic application applied to the doctrine of justification by faith. What's this got to do with justification by faith directly here? That's what I'm trying to get across here. If God is one, He is the God of both the Jew and the Gentiles. The human race exists as a result of His actions. And that includes all races and all peoples, in all places and all times. He brought the human race into existence and divided it up according to different ethnic groups and all the rest of it. Eventually establishing nations and giving them their territories. God is one over all, not just over the Jew. So He is one. When we say that, it can be confusing. The simple explanation is God is one in essence. All three members, He is one in essence. And the three members of the Godhead does not violate that doctrine of the Trinity. He is one in essence. They are co-equal and co-eternal, sharing the same divine attributes, as you had presented to you many times. Okay? So He's one in essence. I mean, you could use illustrations of things that have three parts to them. I mean, they're kind of weak because each, but all of it makes up one thing. An egg, a chicken egg, has a shell, a yolk, and white. It's one, but it's one egg. I know, that's the best I can do on short notice. 30. And so, there can be no discrimination. God's work is justifier. It's the same for the Jew as it is for the Gentile. 31. The variation in prepositions there in that verse, by faith and through faith. One has the preposition ek, by faith, or from faith, and through faith, the preposition dia, cannot indicate any difference with respect to the faith needed for justification. As there is no preferential treatment of the two classifications. Verses 22, that should be through 24. The ethnic universalism of the gospel is manifestly evident here. It's for all men in all times and all places. I don't care what country you're in, what time in history, it's always been the same. It wasn't one way in the Old Testament, another in the New Testament, no. It'll be the way of salvation for people will be the same when Christ rules on the earth in the millennium. They'll have to believe in him. But on a side, I'm going to break. I'll post a couple emails I got from Ben Bonney. He's African from Togo, West Africa, city of Lomé. And I got one from Vincent Thomas in the Indian state of Kerala, how things are with them. They're undergoing it too, okay? This is a worldwide thing. In the case of Vincent, he said, we're locked down. It's real strict in India. He said, so we're putting our information out on WhatsApp. And Ben says, we're meeting twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday. We got permission to do it. Attendance is down. For whatever reasons, maybe people are afraid, or one of the things that these kind of things do to believers is they grow weary, they soul faint in the midst of the constant pressures externally and externally from the kind of situation we find ourselves in. But don't let that happen to you. Don't let all this evil going on out here undermine your positive volition. All the more, as you see the day approaching, is the mantra of Scripture. All the more, as you see the day approaching. And that's talking about assembly. And, as I said, people promise me they're going to come here. They're going to be this. Okay. I've heard that a million times. I could be cynical, but I still try to encourage them. Get here. Quit making excuses. I'm tired. I'm this, I'm that. Okay. So there could be no discrimination in God's work as justifier. Again, the various prepositions, ek and dia, cannot indicate any difference with respect to the faith needed for justification. And how much faith does it take? Now, for some applications as a believer, it takes a lot of faith. Great faith. We'll study Abraham coming up in the next chapter. The faith of Abraham. He's our model. He's our godfather. He's the one God established in the Word of God among all the great believers that are mentioned in Scripture as our father Abraham. He's the pattern for the adjustments to God. And we're to follow in the steps of our spiritual godfather, Abraham, whether we are a Jewish believer or a Gentile believer. And it's pretty neat, really, when you see it. So the ethnic universalism of the gospel is evident here. Okay. The answer is Paul's emphatic formula of denial. May it never be. No way. Here in this context. We do not nullify the law through faith. Rather, he asserts, on the contrary, we establish the law. We handle that part of Scripture honorably. We establish the law, which, what's the law do? It defines STA activity. It specifies what it is. Through the study of the law comes the knowledge, among other things, comes the knowledge of what STA activity is. And then the law turns around and also points us into the solution to our sin problem through the ritual system of Israel. The blood sacrifices. That's the solution. Foreshadowing the coming and person and work of Christ. Which we're going to be celebrating here at the end of second session in our monthly, at our every other month observance of the Lord's table. The Mosaic Covenant does two essential things to lead men to salvation. It convicts people of their sinfulness. Romans 3:20. Two, it teaches the path to forgiveness and justification via the Levitical code with its shadow Christology depicting the person of Christ. A perfect specimen for sacrifice, a lamb that has no spot or blemish. In other words, the animal, when examined, doesn't have any sickness, no physical abnormality. So it's qualified to be used as a sacrifice. So that's the Christology. Then the killing of the animal and the bleeding out of the animal, and they used other animals too, within the general category, teaches soteriology, which is the systematic study of this topic that we're into, the doctrine of salvation. All right, we'll take our break, and we've got about 6 minutes early here. Stretch that out as much as I dare. You should have picked up, if you haven't, pick up the next set of notes, where we'll start working on Romans chapter 4.